Hey y'all, down here at the sculpture garden at Henry Clay. All right, we're going to look at Mark chapter 6 and the feeding of the 5,000, starting in verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. So this is a really important scene in all of the Gospels. This is the only miracle that Jesus does that appears in all 5 Gospels. So that's a way of kind of underlining the significance of it. Notice too that this was after the first time that Jesus sent the disciples out 2 by 2 to cast out demons and to preach repentance. And he says, "Hey guys, you know, we've been busy. There's been a lot going on. Let's rest. Let's go to a desolate place and rest." This kind of underscores again the Jesus is the Son of God, but he's also taken on our flesh, and he understands the need for rest, and he wants to give rest to his disciples. And I think this also underlines the rhythm that should be in all Christian lives, that we're to give ourselves to loving people and serving people and ministering to people, but we also need time alone and away and apart with him to recharge. This section also opens up a thematic movement in the Gospel of Mark that starts in around 633 and goes to the middle of chapter 8, in which bread is a big theme. There's going to be 2 large multiplications of bread. Jesus is going to refer to bread. The word bread is mentioned 17 times. So it's clear that Jesus is opening up a particular theme with this bread. So I've always marveled at Jesus because he says, "All right, guys, we need to get away and just rest and debrief after your mission." And as soon as they show up to the place that they want to rest, there's a huge crowd. And my response would be, "Ugh." And Jesus' response, and this is really important, is compassion or pity. This is a beautiful picture into the heart of our Lord. It's a beautiful picture into, if you want to put it this way, his emotional life, that when he sees these crowds, he is moved with pity. He's moved with a sense of the pathetic weakness of humans, and he wants to minister to it, and he does. And I think we need to call that to mind in our own lives, that's his heart towards his people, that's his heart toward people, is one of pity. And notice, too, that he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. You know, I don't know if you've ever just felt compassion on some kind of animal, a pet or some kind of domestic animal they're just pathetic in their weakness and their ignorance. I think this is calling that to mind. And it's also calling to mind that Jesus is the great shepherd, that he wants to give us food and protection, and he wants us to thrive. And so that's his response to these crowds, not irritation or anything else. So notice too that they're in a wilderness place, and in the Bible, if you hear the wilderness mentioned, we're always going to be going back to the wilderness that Israel journeyed through in between Egypt and going to the Promised Land, a place of testing. a place of encounter with God, a place of kind of being stretched to your limits and seeing what comes out of you, which is precisely what God did with Israel. And then we get to the moment, the evening is coming and the disciples are getting nervous and maybe they're getting irritated. You know, we wanted to come out here and rest and here we are doing all this work. And so they say, Lord, why don't you send them away so they can eat? And he says, well, why don't you take care of it? And I want to suggest this is kind of the universal condition of Christians, that God puts people in our path, God puts situations in our path, God puts needs in our path, and they seem extraordinary, and we look to whom we can refer them. And very often, the Lord himself says to us, no, you take care of them. And I want to stress that it is probably situations that seem extraordinary, that seem beyond our capability, that seem beyond what we can do. Think of any situation where you're called to love or serve or help somebody and it's just beyond your power to do so. I think we should hear the voice of the Lord in that saying, you feed them. Well, of course, their response is, I don't know what we can do. Now, I want to stress here that we might be cynical, we might not know what to do, but notice too that at least some of the disciples, well, he says, what do you have? And they bring what they have. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's probably how we should always look at all of our efforts to do what the Lord commands, as woefully inadequate to the task. 5,000 adult men and 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's how we should look at all our efforts to love people, serve people, speak the word of God. And what's remarkable about this scene is that Jesus takes the pathetic things that they offer probably with very little faith, a very weak faith, and he uses them to feed the crowds. He uses them to do this great miracle. But again, remember that this is not just a great miracle to show, oh, Jesus is like a magician, he can do amazing things. It is, like all things in Scripture, evoking other parts of Scripture. Again, we're in the wilderness. That should remind us of something. There's a great crowd. It should remind us of Israel. There's 12 disciples. That should remind us of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it uses a particular word when it says they broke up into groups, symposia. It's a word for a feast and a fellowship in the ancient world. And notice that it says they're sitting on green grass. It's this image of plenty and feasting and fellowship. And I believe it's very much, first of all, evoking the way that God feasted Israel in the wilderness, but also I think it's pointing ahead to the Feast of Communion and the feast, the wedding feast of the Lamb that we see in Revelation. So it's this image of abundance in a desert place, of God's amazing provision. And I think it's an invitation to those crowds and us to the wedding supper of the Lamb, and that he can bring that out of seemingly impossible situations. And then finally, just a comment on the bread. Again, whenever you think of any concrete thing in Scripture, immediately we should make associations with other things in Scripture, like the manna in the wilderness that was provided from heaven, like the bread of the presence that's in the tabernacle. There's all kinds of moments that this is evoking. And as the other gospel writers and Jesus and other gospels will say, he's the bread that comes down from heaven. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus is that bread. He's the bread that came down from heaven, the word of the Father, by whom we live. And so may we as his disciples and his servants learn to offer him the meager things that we have to offer him, and may we see him multiply them. And may we be nourished on this word from the Father that is the bread that comes down from heaven, and invite other people to that same feast. Amen.